Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Joe Starkey. Austin Bechtol behind the bench at the Duquesne women's basketball game. I watched every little syllable you said. We had a camera on you.
Yeah. We were waving to you, Bob.
I saw you.
Did you see us wave to you?
I think I did, actually, after I alerted you that I was watching, because we were watching the game.
I was so proud of this guy. People were asking me if he was my son. We got invited.
That's how it looked like. It looked like you were a proud father taking your son to your first basketball game.
I had a sign, too, my first basketball game.
It was so great. Duquesne women's team invited us over. We were there for the pregame locker room speech. Rick Bell, the assistant, delivered a barn burner. It was unbelievable, this guy, with his pregame speech. Really good stuff.
Are you a big believer in pregame speeches? Do you think they make a difference? I think I think if you hit it at the right moment,
yes,
at a big, you can't do it every game because it'll wear out just like anything else.
I mean, it wasn't like the Herb Brooks speech. It was just basically, you know, to me, it's who's delivering it and how.
Right.
And yes, I do sometimes. I used to argue about this with Ron, and he would say, "Oh, it does that doesn't make any difference." To which I said, "The Herb Brooks speech didn't make any difference that day. Well, that's an exception, you know, that type of thing." I think they do. I think they can make a difference. I really do. And you never know which one's going to hit the right chord, Bob. I'm not saying they all do, or even most of them.
I'm just saying you have to pick your spots with it, too.
With the peel the paint off the wall ones,
right.
Yes. I agree.
Right. There are certain situations that arise where somebody may have said something. You can, as a coach, bring it up and say, look what they're talking about to
sure.
you. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think they're effective. I actually believe they do. I like that stuff. That stuff fires me up if I'm a player, as long as it's something that makes sense to me and you're not just yelling to yell's sake.
Right. I agree with that 100%. However, that's slightly beside the point. We were invited into the locker room, watched Rick Bell's pregame speech. Coach Burt then addressed some members of the faculty along with myself and Limits. We got to have a pregame talk. He is unbelievably calm.
So calm.
I was just, when I coached fourth and fifth grade basketball, I was a nervous wreck before games. He's coaching a big game last night against Dayton, and he was just really exuded the presence of a boss, right? Isn't that what you want out of a boss?
Yeah, you could tell just the calmness that he has. It's what you want in a leader. You know, no matter what the circumstances and the stakes are, as long as you can stay calm and collected in the moment. I mean, he's coached a lot of big games, too. Like he has over 200 wins.
And then we learned that the head coach at Tennessee right now was at Glanville State, which is where Rich Rodriguez got his start in West Virginia. Did you know that, Bob?
Had no idea. I knew where Rich Rod started. I didn't know. I didn't know the name of the place.
Kim Caldwell's now the coach at Tennessee, and they're pretty darn good. She was going to be Burt's assistant a few years back when she got an assistant job, big assistant job somewhere ahead. I don't know what happened, but he told us that story. And then I snuck in a candy bar. Do you remember that before we went on the court? They had food in there.
I had a Rice Krispie treat.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
And then we sat right behind the bench, like not behind the bench in the stands, basically on the bench.
In other words, right behind the coaches and the players.
Essentially on it, yeah.
Yeah.
And they handed us the scouting report before the game so we could look at it. We heard all the interactions on the bench. It was a great, I thought, intense game. if they make their free throws, I think they win the game limits, don't you?
Yeah, they shot like 40% at the free throw line. If things changed that way, they probably would have won. A fun, exciting team to watch, especially being up close. They're handing us stats after timeouts.
It was unbelievable, Bob. And then you saw us. Limits was yelling at the officials. He had to be reprimanded by one of the officials.
No, you weren't.
And
Bob, you should see me at basketball games. I get very excited.
Don't you consider that overstepping
I did not.
He didn't do that. But we had the time of our lives, Bob, and we're going to go back and do that again. I really enjoyed that. Didn't you, Limits?
You should see me at high school basketball games, especially when I'm in the stands. I much rather like to be broadcasting the game because I can get on the officials. And some of the officials I know, too, so that makes it for a funny little laugh.
Plus, we bonded.
We did.
A couple of observations, Bob. The amount of information and just the overall time of a timeout is mind-blowing. You had sometimes Bert would go in there, but not always. You had Bell go in there with strategy. You had the offensive coordinator. I forget her name. She was
both offensive coordinators.
She was highly intense. Yes. I loved watching her coach. She would go in and give them a play. They would rest. Then they would drink water. It felt like an hour. And then the exchange of information, then they go back on the court, and you're right on the court, Bob. It's my favorite sport. You know, if you asked me if I retired tomorrow, I know there's a lot of people who wish I would. My favorite time was the Big East basketball tournament.
No question.
Right on the court.
I would agree with that.
You agree?
Yeah, absolutely, because there were four games every day. You saw, you know, we were there, fortunately, for that six overtime game. That was one of the ones we stayed for after.
You were?
Yeah.
And I was watching with my brother.
My wife was there with me too. She had never been to a Big East, and that year she wanted to see what it was like come up, and it was really unbelievable because we said we're going to leave here at the end of this game. Then it got to overtime, and I said, "Why don't we just wait till this?" Then two, then three, then four, then five. I thought it was nuts. I've never seen anything quite like it. So
one of the greatest games ever, and you were there, and you're probably right on the court. Yes.
No, not right on, but right, you know, behind, second row behind. Yeah, a lot of people had left. You know, and when you leave, you can move down at Madison Square Garden back then. I had a press pass on, so, you know, they didn't mess with me so much. So I said, why not? Let's get a little lower.
What a legendary game. I'll never forget not believing that I was getting paid to do this. I would travel to Manhattan for then the Trib and, you know, stay in whatever.
That really didn't matter where you stayed because you're never there.
Yeah, none of which had big rooms, right. You know. Then you walk through Manhattan to Madison Square Garden, the mecca, I think, of American sports. Madison Square Garden. Walk, you know how it is in New York City. There's all kinds of things going on. Pull in there. Go sit down at 11:30 a.m. with a giant cup of coffee and a Danish that I bought on the street. And watch Derek Coleman, watch, start naming guys.
Oh, you name all the guys.
Alonzo Mourning, Jerry McNamara.
Who was the guy who hit the, who was the guy from UConn who hit the Kemba Walker?
Kemba Walker
was in there. The Pearl. Now, that goes way back, but I remember watching that, too. Pearl Douglas, when he was doing his thing.
Pearl Washington. Yeah.
Washington.
And Sherman Douglas.
Sherman
Douglas.
I combined him. I created quite a basketball player right there, didn't I?
You did. Bob, no, but there I was on the court.
But even those pit, I remember we did, and we went up same thing. At the time, it was something they wanted us to do.
Yeah.
I pushed for it real hard. But we did live in the bowels of the arena every day because we had Bob Huggins with West Virginia there, Ben Howland and Jamie Dixon. They won a couple of those things and how important it was for those kids to win that tournament.
Yes.
Some people will argue that's not that affects you in the NCAA. I don't really care because it's a tournament they're playing in and they want to win. It's all these guys that they came up with, recruited against, and you want to win those things. It's New York City after all. So, and the Kemba Walker thing, if you remember, they were not looked at as a team that was going to win a national championship. They got hot, they won that tournament, and then they won everything after
West
that.
Virginia won it one year, and yep. What a pleasure that was to watch. Pitt, when they beat Georgetown, when Sam Young, I think he forgot his sneakers for the game.
Yes, I remember that.
And was incredible in that game.
Awful.
And there I was, Bob, at noon. You get there at 11:30 with a nice cup of coffee, usually a cheese Danish, I might add, just to add a little detail.
I'm not a big cheese Danish fan. I go for the heavy hitting.
Cherry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a bad choice. Watching a noon game. Then a 2 o'clock game, maybe 2:30 it would
and a
start.
Little, and they reset the buffet, too.
They reset the buffet. But
for the night side.
Yes. And then you go out, you eat, you go walk around Times Square, and then you come back for the nightcaps.
Speaking then, of nightcaps, then you go to Rosie O'Grady's for more nightcaps.
Or you meet E.J. Borghetti for pizza. I forget the name of the pizza place we used to go to.
Yeah, there's a million of them there.
Bob, I couldn't believe I was getting paid. And then I'd visit my Aunt Viv, who lived right near the mayor's mansion in New York City, in a little apartment right across the water from there.
And I wish that younger people in our business have a chance to experience those kinds of things. It's never going to duplicate itself, you know? I mean, there's tournaments. You still can... Some of these are still, the Big East still plays at Madison Square Garden. So if you're one of those teams that plays, it's a different league, of course, different teams in it. But
the greatest thing I've ever seen, it really was. And that building, the first time I walked into that building, you take an elevator to a different floor. Yeah. I'm like, wait.
Well, it's nine stories, isn't it?
Yeah, wait, where? Like the whole building isn't Madison Square Garden. There's like offices on other floors here. So you take the elevator. Limits, and then you come out, and there it is. I think the most magical arena in the history of American sports.
Pretty incredible.
Oh, I remember a couple of things that happened in the hallways there. Craig Pat, remember they traded for Johan Hedberg one day, and it was like the most meaningless trade that had ever occurred. I'll never forget talking to Craig Patrick. I was there for Wayne Gretzky's last game covering that, Bob. How about that?
That's pretty special.
That was incredulent, is what it was.
See, I remember, that's the thing about what we're afforded to do here. We get to see some things up close, not just up close, but then after the game is over, back talk to the people, the principal people who are involved in these things. It's pretty awesome, you know, which is why I tell people who are interested in this kind of business, those are the things you can look forward to, and those are moments that you'll never get anywhere else, really. So
I covered the last two ACC tournaments for Pitt. Greensboro last year, Washington, D.C. this past year.
Where is it this year?
I think it's back in Greensboro.
Greensboro is a nice area, but it doesn't strike me as New York City would.
Well, no, you know? I don't know. Like the Mecca is obviously completely different.
It was the Magic Kingdom. And I remember one time, Bob, just to make a long story longer, but this was amazing. Pitt was going to play a 9 o'clock game against Louisville on a Friday. And the way that the trib was, you know, you would have had to have a running column in, which is the same as, you know, any newspaper. I'm like, a running column on a game where I don't know what the score is going to be? You know what I mean? Running meaning, for people out there, I have to have it in right at the buzzer. So there's no quotes. Yeah. There's probably not even an opinion if it comes down to, you know, the last shot. So I'm sitting there saying, how can I do something more meaningful? And this was maybe a year after Maggie Dixon passed. So at the last second that Friday morning, I called up the military academy, the army, the campus up there part of New York State.
I remember that you wrote about this.
And they were off, but miraculously, the PR guy was on duty that day. So I'm like, could I just come up there and get a feel for, you know, what she meant to the town? There's a tiny little town up there that I walked through, maybe get a tour of the campus where the cadets put her on her shoulders when she took Army to their first NCAA tournament ever, I think, in women's basketball.
Yeah, it was.
And sure enough, I took a train out there and then got a cab and took it up the winding road to the Academy campus. And he met me and gave me a tour of everything. And it was even more powerful for some reason that nobody was there. Because I got to go into the cafeteria. There was a bunch of social media videos, even back then, of the cadets cheering for Maggie when she came in there after winning. And the arena itself. And this guy was the broadcaster of the game, I believe. And then I went into town, into some of the shops. And everybody had a story about Maggie Dixon. And then I went to the graveyard where she was buried next to legendary figures from the Army, including... Was it Doc Blanchard and Glenn Davis backfield, a famous general? And it just became really, because of the help I got there, probably the most like meaningful piece I ever did was from scene. And then I went back to the game and talked to her dad, Jamie's dad. And it was unbelievable. So my memories from all of that, the tournaments, that story was the greatest time of my writing career. And it sounds like for you, those games were maybe the greatest time you ever had.
Yeah, they were. Again, just because of all the local components of it. Anything that we do has to have a local tie to it. Otherwise, we weren't, you know, it cost a lot of money. It's a little less money now because of the way technology has. But back then, you had to drive a lot of equipment to do these things. It wasn't easy to do, and it was costly to do. But if we found that you can actually tie it into local stories, whatever it may be, then there's a good chance we could go. So, yeah. I also remember, since we're on this topic, going out to San Jose to watch Dixon Howland, first time they met.
Yes.
UCLA and Pitt, and that was it the Sweet 16? I don't even know what it was. I think it was the Sweet 16.
It was the Sweet 16.
And just the build up to that was pretty awesome. Because obviously we all get to know these guys, so spent a lot of time before the game with both, and just how I remember Ben Howland didn't ever want to play Jamie.
Right.
He just didn't want to play Jamie. And of all the things that we have to do here, this is not what I'm looking forward to, although I want to win the game. But it was
who was UCLA's point guard? He was a star that year. It wasn't Westbrook, was it? Somebody, and they took an immediate disliking to me in the locker room. I forget who was it was. Tyus Edney.
No, I remember the guy with the name who I was Boom.
No, it was a different guy.
That's going to kill me to think of the name. But
and he decidedly did not like me right away.
Was it Westbrook? It may have been Westbrook.
Might have been Westbrook, but I think it was somebody else. But yes, I remember that too. Were you and I friends there? We didn't even hang out. We probably hardly said hello.
No.
I knew you from the showdown.
No, but I think we were staying in different places or whatever. So, but I just remember that was compelling to me. That was really interesting how it all came for that one day for those two to meet after everything they had gone through.
I know. It was great stuff. I remember going from one locker room to the other, which leads us all into somehow limits a six-pack to begin the show. Maybe that was the first item.
That was like a big keg right there right off the bat. 17 minutes of keg.
We tapped a keg.
Thanks to everybody at Duquesne for having us.
Yeah,
our
man.
Guy RJ, Coach Burt, everyone. It was awesome.
That was
great.
We'll
do it again.
The first item brings us back to Pitt basketball, Bob. What happened last night? What happened after the game? Did you guys have footage? It looked to me, and I don't want to come to grand conclusions here because it's still unclear, but the video seemed to show Jeff Capel getting into it with the players from Florida State, jawing back and forth. I don't know if he had his hands on a player. It looked like that at one point. It was not a good look. I'll say that much.
Police were actually in there at the end and pushing everybody out of there. I don't know. We were on the air. I was doing the sportscast on KDK TV, and the game had just ended, so I wasn't sure. I just knew that they were going to lose because they were down by 10 when I went in there, like a minute left.
Yeah.
Then I saw the video afterwards, so I honestly don't know what happened, and I don't know what the announcer said.
Limits, what did you see? You're a Pitt guy.
Well, so I've watched the video now a couple of times, and it just seemed like in the handshake line, there were some disagreements after the buzzer, and I guess just a verbal altercation of some pointing from Damian Dunn for Pitt, and it just seemed like, you know, when the bench is clear in baseball, but no punchers are thrown, it's just a bunch of people yelling at each other and pointing.
Yeah.
It sort of seemed like that.
I think from what I saw and a couple of the things that Pitt took exception to the way Florida State was celebrating.
And dunked at the end.
A second left.
Yeah. You usually don't see the coach with the other team's players, though. That's the unusual part. Yes?
Correct. Jeff Capel was yelling at some of the players for Florida State who were yelling back, and they had to be, both teams had to be escorted off. And as Bob said, there were some police officers who were there standing on the court making sure things didn't get worse.
Next. I guess we'll see what happens with the ACC and Capel moving.
Yeah,
forward.
I just think it was feisty. I don't think anything of consequence happened other than it was a bad look.
I guess we'll see. Bob, shockingly, nobody picked up Tristan Jarry and the $17 million
not
left.
Not yet. Is
on
it
his
24
contract.
Hours up?
No, at 2 o'clock it'll be up.
So far it hasn't happened, which means it's not going to happen.
I'm going to bet that nobody does. Where do we go from here first with Jarry? Well, what happens to this guy? He's going to go back to the AHL. They say he has to earn his way back by doing what? Playing good against triple A's again? I mean, This is a disaster, Bob. Are they going to buy him out after the year? That's going to be a lot of money.
It doesn't matter. If they've come to the conclusion that he's not going to be what they wanted him to be, the best thing to do is buy him out. And that way, he gets his money, but you're done with him if that's the case. I think first they'll try for the rest of the season to see what his attitude is and to see how he handles all of this. And hopefully he can regain it. That's probably their biggest hope out of this. But the reality is they still have the wherewithal, I believe, to buy out, and why not use that option?
Because
that way,
because well, I know, but it's still it's a horrible
it's
outcome.
A horrible look, no
just
matter what.
A horrible outcome.
And the reminder of him being horrible look will last three more years if you keep him on and keep trying to put him in there and costing you games, or he can't get it right. I'd rather just say that's it. We made a mistake.
Who Let's do you guys on. Blame more for that? Horrendous
50-50
albatross of a signing, Mike Sullivan or Kyle Dubas?
50-50. I think Dubas wouldn't have done it without encouragement from Mike Sullivan. I think that's fair to say because he had Jari's back,
well,
and
then,
I think he believed
then you're saying close to 100% Sullivan.
No, because the GM still has to do his job, and if he sees that that's not the way it should go, he has to make a decision too. If it's just Mike Sullivan's decision and that only, then who is the GM?
Great question. How much that would lead to questions of how much power did Fenway Sports Group confer upon Mike Sullivan, trying to make it sort of a coach-centric organization like the Steelers have, is what I would argue. And I think this is largely on Sully, because you're right. You said it perfectly. I don't think Dubas makes that move if Sully isn't a strong backer of Jari. Now, having said that, maybe I'll go to 30%.
And I say Dubas. That because Dubas had his own problems with goaltending in Toronto.
Exactly.
And the last thing he wanted to do, probably, was his first big move was that. Just
but
because.
But he did it.
But he did it, and again.
And he went out there. The reason why, you're right. He couldn't get the goalies right in Toronto, and his first move in Pittsburgh is to screw up the goalies forever? Come on. So he went out wherever Jari lives, Western Canada, and visited him and was convinced that this was the guy. I think he probably had to be on the same page with Sully somewhat. So I'll go 70-30 Sully to Dubas.
But I think
on
it
that
was,
contract. It's just an albatross contract.
It is. And so is the one, quite
it's
frankly,
Jack Johnson,
with
but
Ryan,
worse.
Ryan Graves. He's heading down that same. He's been a healthy scratch a lot recently. I mean, if he can't play, that's $4.5 million a year for 6 years.
How much total money did they invest in Jari and Ryan Graves?
On average, over $10.5 million a year.
I want totals. 27 I think 54 million.
Yeah, 50s in the 50s. Yes.
Am I right about that limit?
Yeah, Ryan Graves is at 27 over 6 years, and Jari was, what, 5 for 26 and change?
Oh, my God.
53.
11 years and $54 million in two guys who might not be in probably shouldn't be in the National Hockey League. Maybe Graves is a third-pair defenseman. He doesn't.
But that's not what you signed him for.
For two guys who don't play right now in the NHL.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Graves is signed through 28-29, by the way.
Holy yeah, that's, horse follicles. You can't buy them both out, Bob.
No, but Jari would be the one I'd do. Only because
Why?
I think because they have young kids in their system. And I think at this point, if Bloom, and this will also lie with Blomqvist, if he shows. And that's why it's important for him to start tomorrow in Buffalo. And I think a large majority of these games, we know what Nedeljkovic is. If he does what he is capable of doing and he shows that he could be the guy, there is absolutely no room to go backwards. No room.
This is a disaster, Bob.
Not unless Blomqvist takes it and blooms.
Oh, I do like, very nice. Do you like that horse? Unless just, he blooms?
It blooms. It's actually Blum. I couldn't. Nothing
blooms.
To Blums.
Right. No, but that Blum. Doesn't mitigate. Well, I guess it does mitigate the disaster, but it doesn't take away the fact that you're spending all this money every year on two guys who can't play.
No,
I know. What's the NHL salary cap right now? Can you look that one up, limits, please? How much of a percentage of their cap are these two stiffs taking up
at
right
least
now?
10%, I would think, because it's got to be 80, 70.
88 million 88. Is the cap.
Can you then figure out what?
10, 11.
Penguins are at 85 and a half, so they
okay.
got about 2.5.
Right. 10 divided by 85 and a half. No, 11 divided by
11.
Something like that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That's 8 to 10% of your salary.
Is it? Yes. You're quicker than Ron on the math, Bob.
And that, depending on what the total numbers are with those two contracts, but it's about 10% of your salary goes to two guys
who
aren't.
That's franchise crippling right there. It's just, it's, and that's, the Graves thing is entirely on Dubas.
Well, so, there have been some other signings that haven't worked out either. These are littler costs, but still, you know, some of the, you know, the Matt Nietos of the world. As much as Nola Chari has played okay at times, I mean, they start giving all these millions of dollars away, and if you're not getting a whole bunch back, I think that's also a problem.
Well, they also took on a pretty hefty contract
with
in
Eric
Carlson.
Well, that hasn't worked out exactly either. Not the way you would have expected it
no,
to.
No, and he's a guy that I would approach and say, please, please leave. You know, you've actually been pretty good at times this year, but don't you want to go chase a cup? Don't you? We'll pick up part of the salary. Go somewhere where somebody wants you. Does somebody want him? I don't know. Not unless you pick up part of his salary. But now we're talking about three guys, Carlson, Jari, and Graves. They practically have an entire salary cap under their name.
How big of blame should Kyle Dubas get for this? Like, over the last year and a half, Frank Saravalli pointed this out. These are some of the guys he signed. Jari to a five-year deal, $27 million. Graves, 6 years, $27 million. Achari Nieto, as Bob mentioned. The trade of Gensel that didn't work out with Michael Bunting this year.
I'm not ready.
I'm not ready to say that.
Bunting has more power play goals now than Gensel had here.
I think they got
a first-round pick.
What about the Riley Smith trade?
That was a disaster.
That was bad. And I also think, you know, he did what he could to get Michael Granlund. I'll give him some credit out of that. That was part of what was going on.
You know who the leading scorer is, by the way, for them? For the San Jose Sharks?
Michael Granlund.
Granlund.
Yeah.
Right.
Lars Eller.
And you know who traded for Ricard Raquel? Ron Hextall. Not that I'm defending his tenure here, but has Dubas been much better?
No, I think if you're going to judge seismic failure moves, anything that Hextall did, and I was trying to jog my memory last night because on the sports call we were talking about this with Chris, you know, McCann leaving.
Yes.
Also Tanev being exposed to the, not that he's, but Jeff Carter was available. They signed Jeff Carter. Jeff Carter was not good signing by Ron Hextall. But aside from that, I mean, I don't think he ever gave someone 5 years, $27 million or 6 years, $27
million.
Well,
he gave the old guys that money, but that was probably ownership.
I think
ordered.
That I'm not going to give him that on his resume. I think that was kind of pushed on him.
Yeah.
I think, what's the guy's name?
He was also a goalie who couldn't fix the goaltending
problem. I think Burke had a lot to do with that, too. I don't.
He gave Kasperi Kapanen a little bit of money, Bob. Not his best decision.
Yeah, but not $27 million.
I know. I mean, you're right about that. You're right. I agree with you 100%. But I got some good news with our next item in the six-pack. Wonder Twin? Pirates acquire right-handed pitcher Brett DeGoose or Brett DeGauss or Brett DeGeese. I don't know what his name is. From Toronto. He was, and you can start planning the parade now, Bob, across 13 relief appearances last season. He was 0-2 with a 7.15 ERA.
That fits goose right in.
The goose that saved Pittsburgh. How do you say this guy's name, Limits?
I'm still trying to figure it out myself. I think it's something like what you said.
You know, if I'm the Pirates during this time of, you know, complacency in Pittsburgh sports, that's a kind word to use. But with the Penguins having their problems, the Steelers out of the playoffs, all the, you know, the comments that you're seeing, this is a prime time, knowing that you're heading into your Pirate Fest this weekend, knowing that you're going to be in, you know, spring training pretty soon, knowing that the sports landscape is not filled with a lot of great stories right now, this is the time they could have made major headlines and done something just seismic for them that would have made people start talking about the Pirates more. I'm hopeful that it's not DeGuse, DeGuise, DeGuise.
DeGuise, officially.
DeGuise. DeGuise.
I don't want that to be it. I want it to be something better than that.
What about the Birch Smith roster signing? Too bad they didn't sign Bruce Smith, Bob. I think he would be more helpful. I think we'll know. I think we'll know that the Pirates have done something good when somebody that we recognize, a name we actually recognize, instead of somebody we've never heard of, comes here.
Like Spencer Horwitz?
I'm not.
No, not like Spencer Horwitz, because half the people had never heard of him either.
I am waiting to see what he can do. I'm not going to rule him out of having a good season, but you're right. They need for them to get what they need, and PR is a big part of this right now. The door is wide open. People are yearning for something good to talk about.
How about Hamlet Santos, Bob? Right-handed pitcher that they signed.
Hamlet?
Yeah. They also signed Macbeth. Go ahead.
Shakespeare walking through the door. Homer.
Homer. That's not Shakespeare.
So, I'm just naming names.
You were talking about Homer Simpson.
Othello? Are they going to sign Othello next, Bob? This is, you know what I mean.
They have Armstrong. They have an opportunity to. You know, I look at what Arizona did with Corbin Burns, for example. And they don't. It's not that they need a Corbin Burns, but if they could have gotten some sort of, you know, really good batter who would have commanded 6 years, $150 million. Why wouldn't they do something like that? That's perfectly fine.
I don't know.
Fine.
I can't ask it anymore.
But I'm saying this was the time.
I've been writing about baseball for a quarter century,
time
and it's
to
the same story every
this
year.
This was the time to do it.
I know. It was. It was.
And
that's
it still
the key
is
phrase.
For the next month
They're
and a half.
They're all gone, Bob. Who else are they going to sign now?
Make a trade then. Do something. Trade some
Yolander
of your best
Santana,
prospects.
Santana, Alejandro Rondon, Frederick Avalle, Edyan Ferman. These are all guys they're bringing in. Victor Familia.
It's like putting together a whole
is
pile.
Is Ala Familia the best Italian in town, Bob?
You went through
it's
this the other day.
It?
It's very good.
Yeah.
Arlecchino is. Rico's is good.
You think
good.
Victor Familia could secure Velozzi. An endorsement contract with them?
We just went to Velozzi's in Greensburg. It was really good. Oh, there are so many great Italian restaurants.
There are.
There really are. By the way, there is a... I have to take you here one day. One day.
Please.
One day. It's in Las Vegas. It's one of the best Michelin sushi places you're ever going to eat. And I'll even say to you, it's my treat to take you because I want to see your reaction to when you eat the sushi.
I'm ready. Anytime you want. How about Lamon Old Piero? Did you know they got him this off-season limits?
No.
No. Thanks for enlightening me.
You're welcome. So the latest is the goose that saved Pittsburgh. For cash. The Pirates gave up cash for this guy? How much? A buck? Is he in the 99-cent rack, Bob?
The dollar pin?
Are they getting a cardboard cutout of him from the dollar store? What's happening here?
I don't know. But what should be happening is a lot more than what's happening. Because, again, I think people are going to all of a sudden look for something to grasp onto. And this would be it for the next couple of months. There's nothing unless the Penguins turn things around drastically. And even then, there's a vacancy of sports... good stories. If you can provide a few, I think you'd get a lot of PR credit for it, and it would help your team.
And don't worry, the Dodgers are going to sign the top international pitcher that's available, too, a 23-year-old right-hander from Japan. Who's
How many can they have on their team? There should be an allotment.
This is like, a disaster, Bob. Next. Thank you, Limits. I needed that one. Jerry Dulac believes the Steelers will make a splash at wide receiver in free agency, perhaps setting themselves up to trade one George Pickens. How many splashes could they make, Limits? Could you look up the free agent receivers? To me,
doesn't necessarily have to be a... they can make a trade. They can do other things.
Would you trade George Pickens to Miami for Tyreek Hill and swap positions in the draft?
I don't know. I mean, Tyreek Hill did not have a good year. There was a lot of issues with him, I thought.
I just want that... What are they? Do they have the ninth pick? I can't remember.
How old
now.
Is Tyreek Hill?
He's
in the
Devontae
Adams
range. Yeah, I don't
range.
Really care about him. I just want the pick. And also,
well,
also I feel like
I will
Pickens,
say, if the pick's included, I'd say yes on that. If it's not, I don't know that I would, only because I think you're swapping one headache for another.
Mr. P, where are they with receivers here? T. Higgins, is he the only splash guy out there? Stephon Diggs, He's another addition by subtraction.
I'm not doing that.
Me neither.
Tyreek Hill is 30.
Yeah.
T. Higgins, Chris Godwin, one of the next available names. Amari Cooper could be a fit.
He stinks.
Higgins would be the only one, and he knows it. He's in a tremendous position right now.
Higgins is the guy. He is, really.
There will be a bidding war for him.
I don't know that I was going to say he played his cards right. I think he would have preferred to sign a huge deal, but he's been left in a beautiful position here, Bob.
No question.
He's the guy.
Yeah, I say that knowing the Steelers put how much into their defense, but Cincinnati would love to have all those guys back. But to do that, you would be probably compromising whatever cap money you have left on defense, which is what they really need help in. So,
limits? Anybody else?
Keenan Allen, Darius Slayton,
nope,
maybe?
No.
Mike Williams is on this list?
Yeah, definitely. Mike Williams.
Hollywood Brown.
Him.
DeAndre Hopkins.
This is a disaster.
Kadarius Toney, Odell Beckham. We're really just scraping
Hollywood
the bottom
Brown,
of the barrel.
That might be the worst. Hollywood Brown would be the only guy I would consider because I think he's had a pretty good role with Kansas. Well, you can say that.
This would be the worst free agent wide receiver class I've ever seen in my life. Are you kidding me with that list?
Yeah, Higgins, Godwin, Cooper are really the top three, and then Diggs, who's down and out. What about wrong way Deontay? How being
definitely
claimed by
that was my
the
next
Ravens.
And last item. Snap one for us, please. The Ravens playing chess, Bob, while everybody else is playing checkers. They go out and have they actually done this or are they going to do this? Is reclaim Deontay on waivers? He won't be around the team. It's a paper move only, and it's going to net the Ravens a compensatory draft pick. They're playing chess, Bob. I know Al Michaels called Mike Tomlin a grand chess master, but it's the Ravens who are playing chess.
The compensation pick is the one that stands out of that whole thing. They're going to get it.
That's the only reason they did it.
And Ryan, third round is third round, and you can say what you want, but that's a premium pick, I think, especially in a deep draft for a lot of different positions. So,
this is incrinculent, Bob. You look great today. Did I mention that?
Well, thank you, and you would be lying because I'm tired. I don't, you know.
I like the hat, Sirixon hat. Or what is it, Woodlands Golf Club pullover?
This is from Nemecolon, yeah. Did you ever go to their range up there?
No, but I'd like you to invite me.
Okay. Well, listen, it's worked so far. Every time you mention golf and your need to get someplace, someone always texts me and say, hey, and by the way, I have a confirmation. I forgot to tell you.
What?
You're going to be playing in Naples on the 26th on a Sunday morning.
Really?
And Alex is going to take care of all you. He's going to enjoy meeting you. I told him all about you.
Now I feel pressure to live up to something.
Yeah, I think I may
really
have oversold your handicap. I told him you were pretty good.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Bob, what's his handicap?
Like 4.
Oh, good. Then I'm like a 28.
Well, I told him you were like a 10.